Welcome. It's Susan Baracco here today. So great to have you on the phone and joining us for the call today. We've got a couple of people already here. I see Eric is here and Francis. Glad you're here today, both of you. I know you both submitted questions, so I'll be chatting with you about that today. Monica is here. Welcome, welcome. While we're waiting for a few more people to show up, if you would just type in the chat, let me know that you're able to hear me, and feel free to share an answer to the question I have up. If there's something new, some kind of a new skill or activity you'd like to learn, maybe something for the summer, with the summer hopefully right around the corner for many of us. I know a lot of people in the country, here in the U.S., the middle section of the country got, I think, a bunch of snow. So we're definitely not out of the woods yet winter-wise. But, and Eric, thank you for letting me know that. Glad you can hear me loud and clear. Monica, thank you, thank you. And one new skill or activity that you might be thinking about learning, and it can be professional or personal if there's something that you're interested in. And Eric said professionally, you want to get into white papers. It's a great, great line of work to focus on, a great service to offer. And then personal, get better at jazz piano. That sounds wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I love jazz. I'm a big jazz fan, so good for you. Good for you. Well, it's a couple of minutes after one, so I want to stay on track. I'm going to jump forward in the slide deck here and ask you to share a win. If you would, oh, and Monica says B2B writing. Good for you. For a new skill. If you would type in a capital W in the chat area and then let us know if you've got any wins to share with us for this week. I'd love to hear what you guys are working on, what's gone well. And Monica says she joined. Absolutely. Welcome. And yes, I know you're new to the program, so welcome. I'm glad you're here. And that is a win. I think you're going to get a lot out of this program. It's some great people in the group. Ed has got an amazing program here, and if you follow the steps he recommends, they work. So, so welcome. Eric has a win for us, about to submit a draft to a blog called Science Unsealed, the Illinois Science Council. They liked my pitch. This is potentially my first pro clip. Yay! Congratulations. That's a great win. Good for you. Good for you. And Catherine, I see you've joined us. Welcome. Glad you're here. And Jay Turcotte, I'm not sure your first name, so I apologize for that. But type it in the chat, let me know so I can call you by name. But glad you're here as well. Jennifer, that's right. Hello there, Jennifer. Glad you're here. So if either of you have had a win recently, we'd love to hear about it. Capital W in the chat, and just let us know if something good has been going on for you. And it can be really small. It doesn't have to be anything major. Sometimes the small wins are even more exciting, especially when you get a couple of them that kind of bump up next to each other and you feel like you're on a roll. Getting some momentum in your business can be really exciting. Even if you've done something as simple as sent out warm emails 2 or 3 days in a row, to me, that's a huge win. That seems to be something that people struggle with. So that is a big win. All right. Who else is? I don't think anyone else has joined us, but good. Good, good. Any other wins to share? We've got a fairly small group here today, but don't be shy. Feel free to take advantage of our time together. Share your ideas and your thoughts. And don't be afraid to use the chat to do that. I'm going to move on to the next slide. What material are you implementing? This is the B2B Launcher Program is designed to be kind of a weekly-ish program, more or less, and should be about 9 weeks long, I think, is the way that it works. So tell us, with a capital I, which material are you actually working on? Is there a session or part of the program that you're actually implementing right now? Let us know what you're working on. And Catherine, you said you're working on positioning right now. So you're new to the program. So welcome. Welcome to B2B Launcher and positioning. Take your time with it. And definitely, it's an important step. It's a really critically important step. So definitely take your time with it. And if you need help, don't be afraid to raise your hand here or post a question in the Facebook group. Jennifer said web copy templates and website development. Great. Good for you. That's also something that takes a bit of time. The website copy can be a challenge. There's a lot to it. It's a lot to think about. And sometimes it's hard to write about yourself too. Monica said she's working on session one this week. So you're all very new to the program. Welcome. Welcome. And session one is also the positioning. Eric says he's working on session three, building the website. That's exactly right. And I think you submitted, I think I gave you some feedback. Session four, assess best starting point, especially brainstorming and connecting to my network. I could tell you that I went through a program with Ed. It wasn't the B2B Launcher, but he uses some of the same material. And the program that I took with him, this was several years ago, really encouraged me to reach out to my network, and I was scared to death to do it. I just felt really kind of silly and, gosh, what are people going to think of me? And is this going to be a nuisance for them? And, of course, I had all that stuff, all that junk running through, that loop running through my head. And I went ahead and sent out an email blast. I said, you know what? I'm just going to write the best email I can in the nicest way that I can. And then I just hit send and I finally did it. And I ended up getting work out of that first, very first email to my network. And I had one project that turned into, oh my gosh, I think over 2 years, I probably made like $40,000 or something crazy like that. It was just a huge opportunity sitting out there in my network that I otherwise would never have come across. So be brave, be brave with the network and send, let people know what you're doing. The people want to help. So don't shy away from that. It can be hard to hit send, but go for it. And Catherine says she's definitely taking her time. Good, working through the worksheet right now. Good for you. Good for you. And Monica says you must be able to read mine, Susan. That's what's running through. That's what's running through your mind too. Oh my goodness. I lamented that hitting the send button. I even maybe wrote a blog about it because I was just had to get it. Like after I did it and then I started getting positive feedback, I was like, I remember thinking to myself, what on earth was I worried about? My goodness. Oh gosh. And you know, especially when people started responding positively and then saying, ooh, I have someone for you. Oh, or I actually need a writer. And all of a sudden people started, and because they already knew me, that know, like, and trust thing was already in the can. These were people I've known for years. It happened quickly, which was really nice. It wasn't like a big sales job. People said, oh, I'd love to work with you. And I remember thinking to myself, what on earth was I worried about? So, and Monica's still trying to remember that in the wee hours. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I am going to move on to the questions segment because we've got a nice little group here. I think we have plenty of time to spend together. And let me just see. And I have someone else on the phone. And I don't know your name. That's because it only shows your phone number. But welcome. Glad you're here. If you have chat available, feel free to let me know who you are and if you can. And just so I know who else is here. So, but glad you're here one way or another, whether I know who you are or not, glad you're here to sit in on today's call. So what I want to encourage you to do, I have two pre-submitted questions, and what I want to encourage you to do is think about what you would like to have some help with, some ideas, some feedback on the program and what you're working on if you're in a point at a point where you're stuck, even if you're really new and just getting started, and many of you are, obviously, just new to the program. But what we like is for you to keep your question focused and specific. I will answer one question per person. Because we're a smaller group, if you have more than one question, I should have plenty of time to come back around to you. So I ask that you do one question. And if applicable, tell me what you're thinking about. So what I like to do is have you put that capital Q so that I know specifically it is a question so that I don't miss it. Because sometimes the chat gets busy and people start making comments, which is fabulous. And if you have thoughts or comments for others, please share them. But if the Q is there, I will be sure to look for it and not miss it. So feel free to type in a capital Q and type in your question. And while we're waiting for people to do that, I am going to start with the pre-submitted questions that I received. And the first one is from Eric. And Eric, I know you're on the line, and your question was, what should I think about as I decide whether my website is ready to submit to Ed and Susan? And that's a great question. So I'm going to bring you on because I'd like to just hear a little bit about, a little bit more specifics about what you're concerned about there. So Eric, I've just unmuted you. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. So this is a really good question. And so tell me a little bit about where you're at in terms of your website. What is there a point where you feel stuck, or is it something that you're just, do you think it's not quite done, or where are you?
I'm stuck in the diminishing returns phase. I've done quite a bit of work on it. I put it together. It's polished. I got a friend who's an artist to help me get the graphic design of it looking really nice.
Nice.
I've got the copy in a place that I think is good, but there's always that nagging thought of, oh, well, I could make it a little bit better, and I want to make the most of the review round with Ed and Susan.
Mm, absolutely.
So it's maybe almost more of a confidence question than a website question now that I get into it.
Yeah, and say it all. Well, that's why I like to bring people on, is just, you know, tell me what you're thinking about. So I appreciate you being honest, and it sounds like you've got some great support, and so can't wait to see that, see what it looks like, especially someone who's a designer, a graphic designer or artist. That's cool. So one of the things that I would recommend to you and to everyone listening in regards to the website, I can tell you that I started my writing business, oh my goodness, I put up my first website probably in 2011, I think. And I can tell you that I've changed it literally hundreds of times since then. And I'm not exaggerating. And I'm not one of those obsessive people necessarily. But what I found is that what I started with was good. I thought, this is good. But then as I started talking with clients, started getting clients, getting to know what their needs were, I'd go back to my website and I'd think, nope. That's not quite what I want to say here. I actually want to fix that. Now that I've had some experience with a client, now I want to edit that to make it even closer. And so what I want to encourage you and everyone to be keeping in mind is that you're going to fine tune this over and over and over again. This is by no means the last website you will, you know, the last version of your website. It's the first one. And so I really want you to feel confident that put it in, and let us take a look at it. What happens, Eric, is that we go through and we look for things, and we're going to suggest some changes that we think will make the web copy stronger. That's our goal. You know, when we review, it's like, okay, I want this website to be a power tool for you. I want it to do everything it can to help you build your business, get your first client, get many clients, hopefully. So the website review is really intended to fine tune what you've done, pull out some points that maybe, you know, maybe tweak this, tweak that. And then you have a chance to edit again and then put it up. And that's what we recommend, is that, you know, done is better than perfect. And it sounds like you may be on the cusp there a little bit. So I want to encourage you to go for it. Put, you know, submit what you have, make sure that you put it in the, as a matter of fact, it's the website review thread in the Facebook group. Make sure that you put it there.
Right.
So that Laura sees it, and then she'll distribute it and we'll jump right on it and get you some feedback. But it's go. I would encourage you strongly to go ahead and do it, because it does. It's amazing to me. If I look back at like the first version or two of my website, it's fascinating to me just how different and it looked from what I have today. So, you know, no worries. That's to be expected.
Just on a technical point, how did you keep a record of what your website used to look like?
So I actually am a fan of backing up the copy. So for many of you who are working on your copy for your websites, you're probably doing it in some kind of a word processing, either Microsoft Word or maybe Google Docs or something like that. And I would even just keep that, because God forbid your website gets wiped out somehow, some way. And I would always go back to it and think, okay, I want to make sure that I capture that and keep it in a Word doc somewhere, so that if I lose my website, I at least don't have to start from scratch with every single page, like my bio page or my about me. That's not going to change too much. So I definitely want to have that handy to make sure that if for some reason I lost that. So that's where, you know, mine just kind of, I can see the historical development of the content as over the period of time.
Right. Cool.
Wonderful. Was that helpful?
Yes, it was.
All right. Great. Well, I'm so glad you, yeah, no, I appreciate you asking the question. This is something that people struggle with. There's a one woman that came through this. I mean, it took her months to submit her website. I just kept encouraging her, just put it in. Don't worry. You know, because then you're just kind of wasting time, and we don't want to do that. We want to get you out there and get you running. So great. All right. Well, thank you for the question, Eric. I appreciate it.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Great question. And something that, as I mentioned to Eric and to all of you, is definitely a sticking point, is you're just trying to, I think the hardest part about the website is knowing that the world is now, as soon as I turn this thing on, the whole world's going to see it. And is it good enough? Then that's what we're sitting back saying, well, if it was just me looking at it, it would be okay. Or just me and my best friends or something like that. As soon as I turn this on, the whole world is going to be able to see it. And so is it good enough? And I want to encourage you that, yes, it's good enough. And that's what the whole point of the review is for, is to let us help you get it to be the best version of itself that it can be for day one. And then you will edit. Believe me, you will edit over time. So great. So I have a second question here. I'm going to move right on to Francis. And I know, Francis, you're on the line with us today too. And I'm hoping you're in a place where you can talk. But let me read the question that Francis submitted. He's keeping a log of emails that he sent and responses that he gets. The no replies by default are not yet readies, meaning that they didn't respond, no response. Or no need at the moment. And they should be followed up on what's a good follow-up schedule and method once. And then his question is, should it be once a month? So good question. This is something that Ed addresses in session 8, A and B in particular. B in particular is the frequency and the types of things that would be of value in this part of nurturing the not yet ready. But I want to, Francis, I'm going to unmute you just to make sure that I'm clear. Oops. And hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
So thank you for the question. I just wanted to make sure that I understood it's that your question in regards to the target audience. So the people that are not responding at all, or maybe responded and said really don't have a need right now. Those are the two kind of categories of people that you're talking about, correct?
Correct. I mean, most, it's just the ones that don't respond, you know, that you don't, they don't reply to your email.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just... So there's a handout in session 8B that I'll direct you to, and that has all of the information that you're looking for. So it has basically the, again, takes, walks you through who are the kinds of people you should be sending information to, you know, how do they qualify to be not yet ready? So you're spot on with that. But then what are the kinds of things that you should be sending? And Ed has several suggestions, but it's information that would be of value to them. And really in a very non-sales approach, just, hey, thought you might be interested in seeing this, thought this might be of help or value to you. Very much a non-sales approach. And he also recommends about every 2 months, because your question was, should it be monthly? My thought is, if you are going to be doing some kind of a newsletter at some point along the line, which I wouldn't recommend you do right now until you get a little more momentum in your business, but a monthly newsletter would be a good thing to send them. And then maybe every other month, send them something that's very customized to their industry, or perhaps something that you think would be of value to them. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions in and around that, or is that?
I think that's good. I just need to look up section 8, you know, what you suggested.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Francis. I appreciate the question. And
thank you.
Keep us posted on Facebook. Let us know how it goes.
All right.
So thank you. Thank you for that question. And that's, you know, that's another one that can be challenging, as to, you know, how often do I reach out, and what kinds of things do I send? Ed recommends that you sign up for industry newsletters, or follow certain, perhaps, blogs, or any kind of an industry publication, anything like that, that might be helpful to show that you're, and it might have to do with marketing in that industry, perhaps marketing information that you might be able to share them of, hey, have you thought about using a white paper, or thought you might be interested in seeing how white papers could be used in your business, that kind of thing. So, you know, just showing that you're thinking from a consultative approach, and that's definitely what I would recommend, is that you're consulting. You're thinking, you know what, this client could probably find value, would probably benefit from understanding how this works. So that's where you kind of put your consultative hat on, so to speak, and send them things that really are going to help them to hopefully pique their interest. All right. Jennifer submitted a question, and I'm going to read it because I think she sent it to me privately. I'm not sure if all of you can see it, but I have been kicking around the idea of being a copywriter for more than a year. Good for you. And I'm now getting ready to finally finalize my website and actually go public. I'm finding myself doubtful that I will actually make money at this. Do new writers without experience really make money at this? Or is this just a dream I've been dreaming for way too long? I'm finding myself procrastinating out of true fear of failure. And she says, please don't make me talk. I'm super shy. I'm sorry to hear that, because I'd love to chat with you about this. I can tell you, Jennifer, that I just shared that story when we first got on the call about hitting the send button to, you know, pressing send to send that email to my entire network. And I'll tell you, I had to walk away from my computer a couple times. I was so afraid that the email was ready, and it was ready to go. I had scrubbed it and edited it and reread it and read it over again and again. And I really procrastinated, and I finally had it up and ready. I was like, I got to do this, because Ed's going to kill me if I don't just do it. And I got up and walked away from my computer a couple of times because I was that fearful. I was so afraid of sending that email that I couldn't stand it. It's really kind of funny. It's a strange thing. And I can tell you that the fear that you're experiencing, and especially where you're sharing with us that you're kind of shy by nature anyway, you're probably an introvert. This feels incredibly outside of your comfort zone. It makes you very uncomfortable, and that's understandable. But I can also tell you that I think as a writer, I actually worked full-time for a while It sounds like that's what you're doing. I had many full-time jobs, but when I started writing, I really did it as a side gig. And I was in that same place. I got to that place where I said, okay, I'm working ridiculous hours between my full-time job and trying to keep up with writing. And I was getting clients. Things were okay. And that's a difficult decision, a difficult step to take. But I think the one thing that I look back and I always thought, you know what, if all else fails and I can't make this work, I can go back and find something else to do. I can go back to either a previous job or maybe find a new one. I always felt like, you know, I'm not going to be completely out of work if that's the case. But the other thing that is really, really important, Jennifer, that I can't stress enough for you and for everyone on the phone is the one thing that makes this easier, it made it easier for me, was knowing that I invested in myself by taking a course like this. I took a different, as I mentioned earlier, a different course with Ed. So I did the right thing. I invested in myself. And not only did I do that, but I threw my whole self into the course. I said, you know what? If I'm spending money, I am going to wring that course out like a sponge and get every last drop of information, every last drop of value, every last little everything from that course. And I'm going to implement everything. And if I still fail, then I have to step back and look at, why at that point? If I've done everything I possibly could, and I lay my head down the pillow at night and knowing, yep, I did. I killed it today. I really worked hard. I did everything, no matter how uncomfortable I was. I did what I was supposed to do. Then I knew, you know what? Then it's not meant to be. Maybe I just don't belong in this. But if I do all of that, the likelihood of failure is pretty slim. If many of you are new to Ed's courses, but you'll hear him talk about this often, is that if you do the work of getting, you know, go through the course, do everything that he suggests, it works. He didn't make this stuff up. He's lived it. A lot of other people have lived it, and they'll tell you the same thing. This is what needs to be done in order to build a writing business. And getting back to your point, you asked about you're having doubt because you have very little or you don't have any experience. I've been writing my whole life. I was an English major. I have a bachelor's degree in English, and I've started out journaling at a young age. I did a lot of marketing writing, and I was in sales for many years, so I did lots of business writing. And as I think back about, you know, over my career and how I got started, there were two things that happened that allowed me to get off the ground. One was that email that I keep talking about that I sent to my network because somebody knew me personally. I didn't have any writing experience, really and truly, but they knew me and they knew they were comfortable with me. So they hired me to do some writing. And the other thing that I did is I reached out to another network, another woman in my network who she and I had been in a coaching program together. We were both business coaches at one point. In our careers together in the same program. She had transitioned into working for an agency and I reached out to her and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. That was part of my networking, kind of scanning my network. And she hired me and I started writing for them. I had no experience. I had never really actually posted a blog anywhere and I had zero experience coming in. And what was wonderful about that is again, she knew that no matter what, she could trust me and rely on me to get the work done. And it just kind of started to go from there. Once I got that first job or two, then things really started to go. They really started to take off for me. So I wanted to just share with you a little bit about my own experience simply because it's probably what you're feeling as well. And I've been working with Ed now for over a year. He and I've been helping him support all of you in these programs. And I can tell you that what you're experiencing is shared by, I would say, 95% of the people who come through this program. It's just this sudden fear. It's that, oh my gosh, what if I'm terrible? And one of the things that I talk about, as a matter of fact, Ed and I are working right now on a program. We're developing a program on self-confidence, talking about how to build your self-confidence, because this is such an issue for especially for brand new writers, people that are trying to break into the business and get their business off the ground. And so one of the things that I like to say, and I think I said this on one of the, perhaps another call recently, is that I always look around and I think, I look at emails that I receive, I look at the way people write on social media in particular, and I think, oh my goodness, I am a much better writer than 90% of the people I know. And that includes people like my husband and my best friend and people that, you know, because they're not writers. And no, I mean, no disrespect to these people. They're very smart, wonderful people. They're just not writers. I'm a writer. And I look at myself that way. And when I, as I mentioned, you look at things like social media or you look at emails that you receive or, you know, different communications, even handwritten notes, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm such a better writer than literally 90% of the people that surround me on a daily basis. So just want to give you some food for thought in regards to that, kind of just to get you thinking a little bit about what is it that you're most afraid of? Is it something that, is it the public piece, which if you're an introvert, which I suspect you are, maybe it's going public is the piece that just rocks you to your core thinking, oh my gosh, I have to, if I say I'm doing this, now I have to do it. And yes, actually you do. But I want you to think back and make the commitment to this program. Do it with everything you've got, put everything you can into it, and go for it. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen, right? So let's say you fail, and then you have to go back and find something else to do. But I also don't think that failing is actually an option. I really don't. I think that if you come into it with the right mindset, and I know this is hard to do, you don't just turn that on. But I'm hoping that some of what I've been sharing with you is helpful. Don't feel like you're alone. I definitely understand why you're feeling so uncomfortable about stepping out into the abyss. It feels like you're, but once you get that first client, then everything changes and things really do start to turn around. So I'm hoping you found that helpful. And I am going to move on because I see another question and she said, yes, it makes sense. Jennifer commented, yes, it makes sense. So good luck. And definitely don't hesitate to reach out again on the Facebook page if you have more questions or if you want to float your question out there to other people and see how they respond, go for it. And I see a question here from Catherine. Catherine's question is, if I tell people I'm a freelance healthcare writer, is that a topic that's perceived as being too vague? Is that too broad of a topic to start looking for work in? So great question, Catherine. Yes, you are here. I am going to unmute you. Hello there, Catherine. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for putting the question in. I appreciate it. And so tell me a little bit about just what kind of healthcare you have experience in or that you're interested in pursuing. What kind of writing?
So the question kind of stems from, so I have a degree in biology. And once upon a time, I wanted to be a research scientist. So I actually worked in research labs. I got really familiar with lab equipment in an academic setting, design experiments, that sort of thing. And then I decided I didn't want to do that, ended up working a retail job at a pharmacy, and now I'm a pharmacy technician because I trained through a program. So I've got pharmacy background as well as research. So it kind of encompasses like two like way opposite ends of
sure.
healthcare.
Right.
And so, but I have like extensive knowledge in these really like, and that's the thing about, you know, healthcare in general is that you can get really detailed and get yes. so like, go very, very deep into one subject and not know anything about the next subject over. And so I'm wondering if just, you know, casting out a net is going to be too broad for anything in healthcare, you know, or do I tailor myself towards like one aspect of it? Cause it encompasses so much. So you know, so, I don't know.
Absolutely. No, great question. Great question. And I think you're, for folks who write in the healthcare space in particular, I can tell you this comes up a lot. This is a common question, like, what do I do with myself? I don't know. So I love that, and thank you for sharing a little bit about your background, because that, the reason that I ask that is because that's where your differentiator comes from. So I know you're new to the program, you're just getting into that, you're into the positioning and working on some of that, but your core differentiator is what's going to make you unique from all the other healthcare writers out there. And so a degree in biology to me is a big deal. First of all, that I think is key. The other thing that I jotted down here was your experience as a pharmacy tech or in a pharmacy setting and the research piece. So all of those, I think it's a matter of figuring out which one is my strongest. In other words, where do I have the most experience? Perhaps maybe I even have a little bit of a network built up. In maybe it's from your schooling, maybe it's from your pharmacy work, maybe it's from your research work, maybe you have a really good network. So I would look at those kinds of things and start deciding, okay, which one's going to kind of float to the top here and be most powerful for me out of the gate. The other thing that I would strongly have you consider is writing, calling yourself a freelance or a healthcare writer specializing in. So you're still keeping that broad umbrella of healthcare, because that's what you are, but with special focus or specialization in the supporting the research companies or pharmaceuticals. I mean, there's those two things. Yes, I agree. Right. They're very, very different, opposite ends of the spectrum, but so powerful. I think your background is going to, and I think your background is going to serve you very well, because that, how many people have a degree in biology that are now writing? You know, most of the time, if you've gone to school, you know, and taken the time to have that education, and now you're a writer. Maybe there's some out there, but maybe not. I think there's probably more the goal here is to make you as unique among healthcare writers as possible. That doesn't mean that you have to limit yourself in any way. I can tell you that, for my own business, what I'm doing right now is I've positioned myself as a resource for professional women, but I've had two male clients in the last year, two or three. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not because I'm not marketing to men. I really am focused on marketing to women, but they found me or they were referred and I said, absolutely, I'll help you, because I'm still doing the same thing. I prefer and literally market myself and position myself that way. But that doesn't mean I don't work with anybody who I click with and is a great fit and is a perfect client for me. So, but that's, you know, a little further down the road. But don't worry about people oftentimes come to this part of the process of positioning and say, oh, but I don't want to narrow my focus too much. The other thing in regards to that, as you're going through the positioning, is to think about need. And that's always, it's almost probably more important. If you look at the two or three areas that you are strongest in, then you want to drill down and say, okay, research companies, let's take that for example. Is there a need for writers in the research? Is there a demand for writers by research companies? And then what size research companies are they, the smaller firms or the mid-size or the really big company? How does, and understanding that vertical and saying, okay, do I see a healthy financial advantage to focusing on research?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, and you have a lot of people in your network, then that's where you want to focus. Those are the kind of factors you want to be thinking about as you're looking at which one of these of my background. And then the the last factor is always, what do you like? You know, what do you enjoy? What is going to help you to not, you don't want to be burned out. If it's, you know, a particular topic you've been working in this particular area, for example, for a long time and you're feeling burned out, may or may not be a great option. Maybe you want to go in a direction that you feel is refreshing to you.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's another thing that I kind of another challenge that I'm coming up against is like thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to focus on this one thing, but not taking into account like the market for it. So
right.
That's the other thing that I'm having trouble with.
Market is critical, critical, critical. It's fun to be able to write for a particular. Sometimes folks will come through this program and say, oh, I want to be a travel writer. I want to do, you know, write for some passion that they have. Or a lot of people, there's a couple of folks that have come through with music backgrounds. And but my question is there a need in that industry? Because if there's not,
right.
you're going to get hungry really fast. We don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want to. There's better ways to get skinny. Let's put it that way. So I definitely would want to see you having plenty of work on your plenty, being able to get to a point where you're turning work away. And that's, you know, because you keep, right. you're too busy. So awesome. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for, the question and for jumping on here. And if you have more thoughts, more, you know, you need more help after today's call, feel free to jump, you know, post it on the Facebook Q&A thread.
I will definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. That did help a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you, Catherine. Great question. Great, great question. All right. Well, we still have some time. So if anyone has another question they'd like to ask, these have been terrific questions. I love the question about the confidence. That's, we could talk all day about that. So I appreciate you submitting that, Jennifer, and stepping up to talk about that. And about the question that Catherine just had about narrowing her topic and her focus. Those are two, you're in a place at the beginning of this program where those are the kinds of things you're thinking about and looking at. And Eric submitted another question, and not a problem. It's similar to Catherine's, but on the subject of target audience, I'm wondering how broad or narrow to go on the broad end science and technology, on the narrow end science instrument companies. Interesting. I do have a question, Eric. I'm going to bring you back on. I'm going to unmute you. Hello there.
Hello.
All right. So I have a quick question for you about, tell me a little bit about your experience in and around the instrument companies. What is driving that focus, that narrow focus?
Sure. So what actually gave me the idea for that originally, you may remember on a group coaching call for the Get Better Clients Academy, I had asked a question. I don't even remember all that well what the question was. Going whether to go science or, which I know, or
right,
or B2B software, which is exciting, but I don't know. Right. So one of the things Ed mentioned offhand was scientific instrument companies. And I thought about it, and that seemed a match for my background, which I'll get into now.
Okay.
So I have a master's degree in chemistry where I studied physical chemistry.
Right. Now you're, all right. It's right coming back to me now, yes.
And since then, I've been pretty much out of the scientific world. I kind of burned out of grad school and didn't want to do any more with science and couldn't really bring myself to do anything, in fact. Since then, I kind of got back into tutoring for a while. I've been driving Uber, actually, to pay the bills, which was really good for the soul, in a way. It's kind of simple, humble work.
Interesting.
That helped me get my head back on straight.
Good.
But I'm ready to use the science background again. And I was on the consumer end of scientific instrument companies. I was their, you know, I was their customer. I was, at least on one occasion, I was researching and buying a specialized lamp for my research.
Wow.
And I was using a lot of different instruments. Those were a lot of laser and optics-based things when I was studying spectroscopy under physical chemistry. So that's my thought as to my connection to scientific instrument companies and my background.
Great. Great. Well, same thought for you. It's similar to the way I answered Catherine's question also, was to look at, is there a big enough, are there enough instrument companies out there that there's a big enough pool of targets? And is there a need? And I would imagine the answer to that is yes. I would think that because of the complex nature of scientific instruments, finding someone who can write about them in a way that's sensible and easy to understand. That's not too complex. that to me, I think would be something to explore. And keep in mind too, Eric, that, you know, this is about, we talk about, you'll hear Ed and I mention the word pivot all the time. I think it's a great way to start, especially if you have a network of people that you can reach out to within the instrument industry. I mean, how do you feel about your network? Is there a fairly good number of people you could reach out to?
I don't feel very strongly about my network. What I do have is people who I was graduate students alongside with and
different
places they may have gone. And I'm not aware of anyone in particular who went to scientific instrument companies. I know someone who's now a software developer for a not really science company as much as they have satellites that take pictures of the Earth and they sell that. Gets all into nonprofits in the areas where it's not, you know, where the businesses don't really care what's happening in developing countries. A person who used to be a consultant and is aiming for some other direction. And then I've sort of fallen out of touch with a lot of people, so I don't actually know where a lot of them are. So the thing there would be to get that connection going again, find out what they're doing.
Absolutely. And using LinkedIn for that, obviously. That's your best place to go, and it's amazing. And reaching out to them on LinkedIn too. Absolutely. But I think same suggestion I would give that I gave to Catherine was to be that writer in the science and technology space specializing in X, Y, and Z. So that you can kind of cover the broad industry, but then say, I specialize in working with scientific instrumentation companies or, maybe there's a couple of things that you could talk about. But I mean, you've got such a tremendous background. I think you've got a lot of options there. I'd start there and see where it takes you. You know, start there with instruments. And why is it interesting to you? What did you see in your personal experience with being on the receiving end as a client? Were you, you know, did you read some of the material, the marketing material you received and think, ugh, wow, this is really hard to understand, or gosh, it's not very well written, or, you know, maybe there's things that they could have done a much better job with this. That's sometimes, you know, you start thinking back to your experience of some of the things that you've seen that maybe you really see that there's a need for them to do a better job of explaining what they do to potential clients. And to be on the client side of it, I think has its power as well to help you be different as a writer.
I don't remember cases of saying, oh, this is terrible writing. I could write that. I could write this better. But I wasn't really thinking about it
at the time
as a writer.
Right.
I do remember as a student in undergrad, I really liked a course that called Instrumental Analysis, where we really talked about the nuts and bolts of various standard chemistry instruments.
Okay.
And I enjoyed learning about that.
So I think there's ways to spin this, to really kind of, like, again, we're talking about positioning here, but really getting your overall science and technology, and then doing a good job of explaining why you're different. That's the biggest part. And I know that's something that, you know, on your website, that's something you definitely want to key in on, is if it's your, degree. I think that's powerful. I personally think that, and then think about what audience will also agree with me. We'll look at that and say, oh my gosh, this person has a degree, a high level degree. I want to talk to him. I want him to write for me. So whatever audience you think is going to be most, find that most valuable, that's who you want to start marketing yourself to.
Right. I want to circle around to a question that's kind of related to this. You mentioned you said I should ask the question, are there enough instrument companies out there? Is there a need?
Right.
So what would I do to try to look into that? And also, how would I get a sense of who those clients are? Like, what kind of education do they have?
Sure.
What are they looking for?
Sure.
So where do I look for that kind of information?
Absolutely LinkedIn. That's one of the best places to start, because that's where that kind of information is. If someone has, even if their profile is somewhat limited in the way that they filled it out, typically education, people put that in. But the best thing to do is to go to either Google or LinkedIn or wherever and search on your competitors. So type in scientific instrument, you know, copywriter, scientific instruments, and see what comes up. And that's where you'll be able to tell if there's any kind of a demand. And I would search it in a couple different ways, looking at science and technology, maybe, you know, stringing a couple different keywords together and see how many people are out there, see how they're presenting themselves and how you, A, could be different, but also sheer volume. Are there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people writing for this or not? And if there's a lot, it means that there's a lot of demand, typically. I mean, just the basic law of economics there, if the, you know, supply and demand kind of thing. But that's just one easy way, quick, easy way to tell, like, what's, get a feel for the, what's going on in the industry. The other thing that I would recommend is to pick a couple of instrumentation companies and start reaching out and asking, just, I'm curious, do you, you know, how do you prepare your white papers? How do you, you know, who do you have in-house? Start asking those questions. Just, you know, starting to, hopefully it's people, if there's someone that you have a connection with, obviously that's great, but I'd reach out and ask and start doing a little bit of hands-on research to find out, you know, are these people using them? And it's part of your, it could be part of your warm email prospecting, which I know you're too, I think, early in the program to be at that point yet, but I'd start reaching out and asking people questions.
Yeah, I'm not quite to the warm email part, but I am looking forward to getting there.
Yeah, so. I know you've got a little ways to go yet, so a few more sessions. But that's just something you can still do all your research online and start looking at.
So I'll be looking both for the competitors who are writing and also people associated with the companies who would be hiring science.
Exactly.
Scientific instrument writers. Okay.
Right. So most likely marketing, someone in marketing or... who knows? I mean, if you're looking at writing technical documents, that might be an angle to take with them, you know, helping them to, if they're developing instrumentation and they need that technical document to go with it, maybe that would be something that, a service you could provide as well. So, mm-hmm. All right. Great. Was helpful?
Yeah, it was.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for the question. I'm going to move on because I see another question here. And I love it. Monica, all the science. Yes, Catherine and Eric, absolutely. All right. Jennifer had another question, and her question is that she just came across the term cause marketing, and it piqued her interest. Is any insight in this particular niche, is it viable? Absolutely. Cause marketing is a huge and growing segment. And so cause marketing is literally for, you know, at its very basic, it's typically nonprofit marketing, and it's for a nonprofit. Perhaps it's something like an organization that looks at the environment. Maybe it's an environmental organization of some sort, or maybe it's to support animals or the ocean or disadvantaged people, something like that. So it's marketing that is designed to help grow support for a particular cause. And that could be financial support. Typically it is. And it is a different animal, so to speak, in terms of, no pun intended, for writing, because you're using a different, slightly different approach in cause marketing. And what I mean by that is that you're really appealing to someone's deep emotion. And you do that with regular, like direct response marketing. There's a lot of, typically you're trying to appeal to someone's deeper need or perhaps a fear that they have. With cause marketing, it's really appealing to an emotional connection, really making that emotional connection. So cause marketing is takes a little bit of practice. I've done a very little bit of it, and all actually just for organizations that I volunteer for already. I've done a little bit of developing letters, actually appeal letters. So that's the kind of thing that I developed one gosh, 2 years ago or so, and I did it for, it was on a volunteer basis, but they needed an annual appeal letter. And they really wanted to make it powerful, make it very moving, make people really, really respond. The whole idea was to get people to take action, write that check, call ups, give them the credit card information, just get them to make a donation. So, but that's just a sense of what cause marketing is all about. So yes, it is definitely a viable niche, and there's more and more of that, I think, on the scene, coming on the scene. A lot more companies are, you'll see a lot more causes blended into companies as well. So even something that's not, maybe it's a regular corporation, it's not a nonprofit, but they have everything they do, they donate part of their proceeds to a particular cause that they're passionate about. So what we're seeing as companies evolve is that that aspect of doing business to do better, to obviously to be profitable, but also then to be able to turn that around and help disadvantaged. So more and more of that is starting to I guess be cross-pollinated, if you will, into regular business. So yeah, definitely a viable niche and something to explore for yourself. All right. Moving on. Aura has, I think, a question. Her natural niche is the alternative healthcare industry, and she's been an acupuncturist for the past 15 years. However, I'm wondering if writing for the 50-plus community industry and anything relevant to that community, second career, retirement living, is that a good niche? And Aura, you're here, so I'm going to unmute you for a moment. Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I want to understand a little bit about, I know you said you're alternative health and acupuncturist, and why the 50 plus? Tell me a little bit about what your interest is there.
Well, actually, I've become more interested in it, I guess for personal reasons, for my parents. I've been sort of interested in that through them, and I realize that it's actually a really big industry.
Yes.
And I'm not really sure about this niche, I have to be completely honest. It's just something that I'm thinking about and wondering, maybe I can zone in a particular area of that niche.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the health industry, of course, is a natural thing for me, and I just feel like it's just so saturated, and I don't know if there's, a need for, I'm having a hard time, focusing on which one of those I want, but I'm actually thinking about the 50-plus community, because I think that it's just such a huge niche, and that's really the future of,
I agree. And it's, people are living longer, so that's really having a huge impact, and they're living healthier too into their later years. So it is having a big impact. And I think that's part of why that industry is growing. But I would kind of direct you back in the same direction and to think about what experience do you have that might be of value? If this is a brand new area of focus for you and you've never done any writing in this area or don't have any direct experience aside from personal, that's something to just keep in mind. If you are, as an acupuncturist and someone who's been in alternative healthcare for a long time, that's a very powerful differentiator for you as a writer. So people are going to look at that and there's an audience that will find that very valuable and want to hire you as a writer. So what I would encourage you to think about is just, what in your background could you use as leverage in this particular area of 50 plus. In regards to the need, that is also something that I would take a look at. Again, I do the same thing that I recommended to Eric, is go to Google or go to your favorite search engine and do a search on writers. senior, you know, senior community writers, retirement writers, anything like that. Just a couple different types of keywords, and see what comes up. See what kind of people are, see what kind of writers are out there, how they've positioned themselves, and who they are marketing to. You know, who they're selling their services to get a sense of, okay, do I see myself doing this? You know, can I get a sense of how busy they are and that kind of thing? The other thing I meant to mention when I was talking with Eric is to look at if they have a website. Oftentimes you'll see writers will put their, have a client list or a partial client list. It's always good to go and see what kind of companies these writers are already working with. And that'll give you a good feel for what's going on in the industry as well. Is there a need? Sometimes you've got a little bit of a lag, and this industry might be in that situation where they're growing and they probably need help with writing, but not everyone in the industry has recognized that or sees the value of hiring a writer. Maybe they just aren't there yet. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know the industry well enough, but it would take a little bit of simply just a little bit of research. But looking at competitors' websites is a great way to see, you know, do they have a couple of like projects listed or different things, samples, look at their, if they have their partial portfolio out there, see what kind of writing they've done and where. If it's all magazines, then that might tell you something. If nobody's working for any companies that actually, you know, have hired them, maybe if it's all magazine writing articles, then that you know, that's going to give you some idea of where the industry might be right now. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I've actually been looking at, you know, a lot of looking up trade shows for.
Yes. That yes.
Mm-hmm. But I've sort of done that, you know, or sort of, you know, try to look from the opposite direction from looking at these trade shows and seeing like who, you know, the participants and seeing,
absolutely,
you know, like what exactly these people are, you know, what they're looking for, like,
yep,
in terms of the services and products.
Yep. So. If there's a trade show type of an event that you could attend in person, that would be a great way to walk through, take your business cards, take some kind of a, you know, maybe a one page marketing piece for yourself and walk around and just talk to people. Like, how do you do that now? And, you know, who at your company is responsible, and do a little prospecting, in-person prospecting, and or even just some research and say, you know, how do you guys get this done? Who does it? You know, and see what kind of information you get. But okay, that's a great way to find new clients. If there's one near you, it might be worth popping in, especially if it's not super expensive to attend or free, something like that, you know, pop in and walk through and see who's there and start talking to people. You'll get a better feel for what's going on by just asking a few questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks for the question. That's always interesting. Always interesting to think about heading in a slightly different direction from what your background is. And remember again that you can pivot, but you need to give it a good college try, so to speak. You need to implement one niche, focus on one target audience and really immerse yourself in that and go with it for a while to determine, yes, this is viable or no, it's not. Okay. Well, we have talked about a lot of things today. Still have time for another question if someone has a question. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting, would love to hear what's been valuable for you today. Type in a capital V as in valuable in the chat and let us know if there's a key thing that really was helpful for you today in our conversation. We've had some terrific questions and some really great conversation today. So if there's something that you found valuable, I'd love to hear what that is. Go ahead and type that in. All right. And Eric has one more question. All right. Eric says, should I aim for certain services at first? I know I should be willing to take anything at this point, and I'm happy to, but I should aim for some. Should I aim for something in particular, like white papers, or aim for anything, nothing in particular? Eric, the best thing to do in your situation where you're just starting out is on your services page of your website, list a number of different things that you do. The difficulty in sticking with just one, like a white papers, for example, if you don't have white papers samples to be able to send out to people, then that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to position yourself as, let's say, a specialist or expert in white papers if you don't have any already written, and you know, you don't have any samples that you might be able to share with them. So that's the only thing I would caution you against in terms of that. What I would rather see you do is start working on making sure that you're reaching out to people and learning about what their needs are. That's part of this process is, gosh, they're, you know, they need a newsletter written, they need a white paper, they might need some other types of correspondence. Maybe they want somebody to keep their blog up to date, maybe a couple times a month. They probably are going to have oftentimes a mixture of needs right in the beginning, depending on the industry. And I think it would be better for you to focus on the client first and not so much in specializing in a particular tool. Like now, for myself, as an example, I started out being that everything to everybody kind of writer. And I definitely would, you know, you need blogs written, great, I can do that. You need this written, great, I can do that. And I was kind of everything to everyone, just looking for any kind of work I could get my hands on. And I think that as I, you know, over time, I started, no, you know what, I actually don't like doing that. I got to a point where it's like, you know, first, it doesn't pay well. Second of all, I don't really enjoy it. Okay, so I don't do those anymore. Now I'm just now, and I started narrowing my focus and changing things. But that was after a year plus of being in business and having gone through and kind of cutting my teeth and figuring out where I wanted to be and what I wanted to offer as a writer and what I was best at. And I think that's the other thing as a new writer for all of you on the phone and anyone listening is that as a brand new writer, sometimes it's hard. Oh, I think I would like that. You know, I think I'll be good at writing a white paper. And sometimes it's, you don't know until you get there. I have a dear friend who's a ghostwriter and all he does is write books for people. He does very, very well, very successful. And he said that for him, writing a blog or anything that's a short form copy is excruciatingly painful. He just doesn't enjoy it. He much prefers the long form of a book. And he didn't know that at first. It wasn't until he really kind of dove in and started trying different things to realize, wow, I'm either not that good at it or it's just not something I enjoy. So keep your options open right now, I think, and be a little more broad-based. Focus the companies you're going to be reaching out to, but be a little more broad-based in terms of I'm a marketing writer. I help you write powerful marketing content, and that could be any number of things. Could be a white paper. It could be marketing, you know, brochure. It could be your landing page. It could be a number of things. So stick with more of a marketing approach for now until you really start to get some momentum. All right. And people are sharing their what's been valuable so far is the use of specializing in. I love that. And Jennifer said the positive support and feedback for the introvert. Yes. That doesn't mean you won't be successful. Introverts are just as successful as extroverts. So thanks for the community providing a sounding board. Absolutely. And Aura had one more question. Do you recommend membership sites like ProBlogger or Contena to find opportunities for experience? You know, those are part of my early experience. I think that the tough part about some of these websites is they really don't pay very well. I mean, you could go on Fiverr and put up a profile on Fiverr. You could go to a lot of different places and to get the experience. And I I did a number of those. Some I got work from, some I did not. You know, they were just for, and who knows why. I mean, it was probably a host of reasons, but I would try it and see what you think, but with the intention that it would be something to just give you some, to start your portfolio, to be able to say, yes, I wrote for this, that, or the next thing, this particular company or for this person. It might be something to try, but just understand that oftentimes some of these membership sites are, they just don't pay very well. So it's a good place to get your feet wet, you know, and well, as I mentioned, kind of cut your teeth with writing. If you have no writing experience at all, it might be a good thing to try. LinkedIn does also does a, gosh, what's it called? Pro, I'm drawing a blank right now on the word, on the title of it, but basically they have a marketplace. I think you could look on like Craigslist, you could look on Facebook has different things that you could search on and things like that. So there's lots of places where people are looking for writers. Just understand that this is, it would be part of your learning curve and certainly not a place to stay because you'll get burned out on that. But it's a great place to give it a try. See what kind of experience you can get, especially if you can land some experience within the target market that you're hoping to focus on. All right. And Eric just made a great comment here. He found content mills like Crowd Content and Verblio were very helpful for experience as a complete newbie. Very true. The pay was trivial, but even getting $10 was really encouraging at first. The advantage with those two is there's no entry fee, but Contena is expensive. Definitely. There's lots of them out there. Content mills, there's some that are bigger, and some are more, you know, they pay a little bit more. I actually worked for a company called Skyward, and I worked for them for, gosh, I wrote for that. I just stopped writing for them maybe 6 months ago, probably the middle to end of last year. And but I was writing for them simply because I was able to meet some of the people in my target audience through them, and that was part of it. And they actually paid pretty well, but it took me a long time to get in. It was hard to get in, but it was Skyward, W-O-R-D, Skyward. If you're at all interested in checking them out, but they're kind of a content mill, but not quite. I would say they're more of an upscale type of a content mill. So they have they have big clients, and they look for writers who have direct experience. So part of the problem with getting into a place like that is that you need to have the experience before they'll hire you. It's not a great place for newbies. It did take me a while to get in and start writing for them, but it was a great experience. It was super experience, and they actually paid pretty well. So, he said, how strong was your portfolio when you applied for Skyward? Well, I will be very candid with you. I want to say 3 years in to my writing business. I'm trying to think. Probably 3 years in, something like that. So I'd been at it for a while when I applied to them, and reached out. I went to an in-person event because I happened to live not too far from where they're headquartered. So I went to an in-person event that they had. It took me over 2 years for them to actually hire me to tap me for work. So I had been active in their database for pretty close to 2 years before they tapped me to actually use me. So they're a challenge to work with. But there are some other big content generators like that can be difficult to get into, but some of the smaller ones like you're talking about they'll definitely take you. And it is a good place to, again, when you're brand new, it's a good place to cut your teeth. All right. So my next question for you is, are there any takeaways? Anything, again, that maybe stood out for you today that was helpful, a takeaway, that something you hadn't thought of before, didn't realize? Anything that you haven't already mentioned? And if not, I'm going to jump right to action items. And this is actually one that I prefer to focus on because we talk about a lot of different things, lots of good topics today. But is there anything that, based on our conversation today, that you're now going to take action on? Is there something you're going to be doing differently or try for the first time, perhaps? Anything that our conversation spurred an idea for you as an action item? Type in a capital A and share it with me. All right. And Eric says, submit your website. Yay. After the proofread and check that the links work. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that, Eric. Very excited for you. It's time to move forward. Progress. Very excited for you. All right. Jennifer says, just hit send. I agree. Oh my goodness. That's very true. Monica said she's thinking about how to recraft her niche using the specialize in angle. Good for you. All right. Anybody else have anything that they're thinking, taking action on? All right. Well, I am going to wrap us up here. This was a great call and some great questions. I appreciate your participation today. It's definitely something that I want to encourage you to continue to take advantage of as you go through the program. Ed and I are here for you, both on Facebook and in these calls. And, we're here. Jump on and ask your questions and let us help you and let us help you to be successful. So thank you all for being here. And I wish all of you a terrific week or two. I think we've got 2 weeks before our next one. So look forward to seeing you all again on our next call, and have a terrific day.